Well, good morning, Lakewood. Great to be with you guys in this way this morning. You know, this text we're getting to today is such a great space, I think, for where we are in our world today. Because it's a reminder that Jesus actually meets us in the midst of wherever it is that we are. He comes along and journeys and actually connects with us in the spaces where we live. And that's something that I think we could all use right now. There was a time I remember when I was younger and my niece and nephew were much younger than they are now, when we were playing a game of hide and seek. And it was fantastic. They were, you know, they had me count down and then they ran off through their house and went hiding. And there was a number of times we did this. But I remember one time coming out of the room, going and looking for them. And as I walked down the hallway, I turned to the left, looked in the bathroom, and there at the opposite end of the bathroom, there was a towel rack with two towels hanging down. And underneath the two towels were two sets of legs. And it was one of those moments where it's like, hey, guess what? I think I found you guys. As I said, they were a lot younger and much easier to find at that point. But, you know, in a lot of ways, even no matter where we are, there's no place where Jesus cannot find us. He is the master of hide and seek, and he is coming looking for us no matter where we live. So as we get into this text today, we've been in a journey in a series called Path of the King, which is following some of the journeys and travels of Jesus as he was going around and meeting with different people, encountering them, talking to them, teaching them, healing them, doing all kinds of amazing things. And this particular part of Luke that we're in, following Jesus' journey, takes us into a path that he was walking now from the region around the Sea of Galilee, now traveling intentionally towards Jerusalem. And Jesus has skirted around Samaria. We heard about that last week as Pastor Don was talking about that. And now has come across the Jordan, back over the Jordan, and now landed in the city of Jericho. As we come to this text, and as he comes to Jericho, he's getting really close now to Jerusalem. It's not that much further. But as he enters this city, he's about to have another significant encounter. Really with, I'm going to call it two people, even though one people is represented by a group. But he's going to have a significant encounter with two different people along this way through Jericho. So why don't we just dig into the text together. We'll read from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Now, online with us, what you're going to do if you want to follow along on the screen that you're on, there is a tab on the right-hand side. There's three little tabs at the top of it where it says feed, and then it says Bible, and then the third one, I can't remember what the third one is, but there's another one there as well. But if you click on the Bible one, it'll actually pull up the YouVersion Bible app on your screen. You can select the version you like. I'll be reading from the New International Version. And you can also select from Luke chapter 19, and then you can follow along right there. Or you might have one of these awesome analog Bibles sitting around your home as well. So if you'd like to pull that out, feel free to do that. All right, so here we go. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." So two encounters that Jesus has in this moment that he has coming through the city of Jericho. The first encounter he has is with Zacchaeus. His encounter meeting up with Jesus as he tries to see him. The second one is really with the crowd and some things that Jesus wants the crowd to hear, his response to them. So the first part of the message is we look at this encounter with Zacchaeus. This is for anybody, okay? what we're going to hear in the words that Jesus talks about with Zacchaeus is really for any one of us, whether you're one who follows Jesus or not at this point. The second part of the message, though, is really geared towards those who are already followers of Jesus. And so you guys better make sure you're tuning in for that part. Okay, so first of all, Jesus' encounter and conversation with Zacchaeus. As he comes into this town, Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is on his way. He hears the crowds, he hears what's going on, and he rushes to try and find a way to connect with Jesus. Maybe he's heard of him. Maybe he's heard some of the stories as Jesus has been going through the countryside. We know that Jesus sent people ahead of him to go into the towns to tell everybody about the kingdom of God, to go and start healing and casting out demons and letting them know that Jesus was on his way. So maybe Zacchaeus has heard some of those street preachers as they've been coming through town and talking about this Jesus, this Messiah, this sent one from God who is coming to Jericho. Maybe he's even heard what happened earlier that day, because Jesus on the outskirts of Jericho had an encounter with a blind man and he healed him. So maybe there's been among the crowd some talk about what's been happening as Jesus has been coming into Jericho. Maybe Zacchaeus is going, wow, this is amazing that Jesus is actually here. But regardless of how he knew about who Jesus was, we know Zacchaeus was very determined to go and see him. We read, though, that he had a problem. He was short. It could be, actually, the word could also be translated that he was young. Either way, as he tried to get through to the front of the crowd just pushed him to the back. They wouldn't let him through to get a front row seat, even though he wouldn't be able to see. And so Zacchaeus, taking it upon himself in this determined way, decided to actually climb up a tree and get out on a branch to be able to see Jesus from up in the tree. Now, the amazing part of this story of the Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus is that Zacchaeus was so determined that he was going to go looking for Jesus. But what he found out was that Jesus was actually the one who had been looking for him. You know, as we read Jesus' response to Zacchaeus, he invites him to come down from the tree because I must stay at your house today. I want to hang out with you, Zacchaeus. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' heart, that it was in tune actually with the heart of the kingdom of God, that Zacchaeus was a man who was generous to the poor. And we read it in Zacchaeus' answer when the crowd starts muttering that he says, look, Lord, here now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Now, the interesting part about that is that could actually be something that Zacchaeus is already doing. The verb tense here is a present tense verb, which suggests this may have already been happening. This is something he is doing, not necessarily something he would do from this point forward. Either way, though, Zacchaeus has a generous heart to take care of the poor, to pay back things that he may have wronged. He has the heart of the kingdom of God. Someone who looks out for those around him, who wants to care for the poor. And so Jesus says, I want to come and spend time with you, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus welcomes him wholeheartedly. Now, if you remember from a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Martha meeting up with Jesus, you may remember the significance that hospitality has in Luke's gospel. Hospitality was significant with the welcoming of the message of the kingdom of God. Welcoming Jesus was about welcoming all that he was about, his message, his hope, the gospel, the whole thing. And as Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus in, we said it, that even though Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus, Jesus was actually the one looking for him. And in this encounter, we see something so significant about the nature of who God is. Before we ever went searching for God, he was looking for us. Before you ever embarked on a journey to discover who God was, what he was like, God was looking for you. The Bible says it this way, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't that we started looking and then God responded. It was that God initiated this search and rescue, and we started to then look up when we heard him. That's the way it goes. God welcomes us. He comes looking for us and invites us in to meet with him. Along this journey that Jesus has had, traveling from the Sea of Galilee down through past Samaria and now to Jericho, he's been doing a lot of teaching, which you can read. And actually, if you look at your Bible, kind of between, I don't know where, well, it's maybe Luke, even Luke 12 or 13, and all the way up to Luke 19, it's almost all red. If you have a red letter edition, that's all Jesus' words, because he did a lot of teaching in that section. And part of that was an incredible set of three stories that he told in Luke 15 about the heart of the Father who goes out and searches for the things that are lost. That's the heart of our God. To look for those who are lost, who are separated from him, who are apart from him, who aren't in relationship with him, to go looking for them and welcome all of us in. And so no matter if you have been walking with Jesus for a long time or not, Jesus is still coming to you, inviting you into a deeper relationship with him. He is always starting. He initiates, we respond. And that's an incredible part of this encounter that Jesus has with Zacchaeus. But let's get to the second part. And I said this at the beginning, but this is more if you're already a follower of Jesus, if you've been walking with him for a while. If you haven't been, if you're not quite there yet or not undecided, you can eavesdrop if you want into this part. But really, this is for people who are part of the church or part of following Jesus already. And this is what happens as the crowd encounters Jesus. So what is the crowd doing throughout this whole narrative? What are they doing throughout this encounter that Jesus has with Zacchaeus? Well, the first thing they did was they tried to get in the way. You remember Zacchaeus was a short man or a young man, and he couldn't see over the crowd. So the crowd could have noticed that and said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, we can see you want to see Jesus. Why don't you come up to the front so you can actually see him?" It's not what they did. Instead, they pushed him to the back. And to get why, we have to understand who Zacchaeus is. And we read about it in the first couple of verses of chapter 19, that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, which meant he was a Jewish man working for the hated Roman overlords as a tax collector, taking money from his fellow Jews in order to give it to the Roman Empire. So they resented him. Some of you may resent CRA. No comment. But the people really hated him for basically being a traitor among his own people. And so they made sure they did their best to keep Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus. So that's the first thing they did. They tried to prevent him from actually even meeting Jesus. The second thing they did is as soon as Jesus singles out Zacchaeus and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I want to have dinner at your house tonight," the crowd grumbles about it. They start muttering amongst themselves, "Why is Jesus going to eat in the home of a sinner?" They can't believe that Jesus would hang out with a guy like Zacchaeus. The crowd maybe wanted their own encounter with Jesus. They wanted to experience what he'd been doing, but they didn't think Zacchaeus was deserving of that same encounter. I wonder, when has that been us? That we've been so focused on our own faith journey, we've been so focused on what we are going to get or receive from God, that what we do in our actions is actually to push others away from him. We are so set on our own doctrine, our own theology, making sure that everything that we do is just, and everyone else should do things just the way we do, that we actually push people to the back and make sure they don't get to see Jesus for who he is. When have we been the crowd, church? Jesus has a response that it actually says he says to Zacchaeus, but I'm pretty sure because he refers to Zacchaeus in the third person, he wants the crowd to be listening in. And his response is that today salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come to the house of Zacchaeus today. Because Zacchaeus has the heart of God's kingdom. Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus as the Messiah, as God's sent one. And in doing so, that qualifies him as a child of Abraham. Which is kind of an odd saying, right? A child of Abraham, you would think, well, that's the Jewish people because they're all descendants from Abraham. And descendants really of the promise from Abraham because they came through Isaac. So this is God's people, right? The Jews. But that's not the way Jesus intended that. He's made pretty clear, and John the Baptist before him made it pretty clear that it's not a matter of what your ancestry is. It's not a matter of descent. It's actually a matter of belief in what God says. Believing that if God says Jesus is the way, that you believe that Jesus is actually the way. In the book of Romans, Paul actually makes this incredible statement. Romans chapter 9. This is first verse 8 and then down to verse 16. He says, in other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it's the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. And in verse 16, it does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. It's not about whether you were born into the right family. It's actually about, do you believe God for what he has said to be true? That's what matters as being a child of God, a child actually of Abraham. So Jesus' response to the crowd is that, listen, salvation's come to this house. This guy over here, the guy that you guys are trying to push to the side, is actually a child of Abraham. You guys, yeesh, not so good. And Jesus says he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to save people like Zacchaeus, those Zacchaeuses of the world. Or like Pastor Don said last week, the other. Those who maybe aren't like us, that we would look at differently and say, they're not really in the in crowd. They're different than me, maybe because of race, maybe because of how they've done things in their life. They're the other. But as we were reminded last week, to Jesus, all of us are the other. Now, this statement that Jesus came to seek and save the lost is kind of a good news, bad news thing. It's really incredibly good news because it means that even though we are lost, even though we are the other, that Jesus actually came to seek and to save us. So that's incredible news. Here's the bad news. It's also a pretty strong statement of judgment for those who would push others to the margins and not allow them to come to Jesus. There's echoes in this text strongly of a prophecy that came to the prophet Ezekiel. It's from Ezekiel 34. I'm going to read a number of these verses to you, so bear with me. We'll start with verses 1 to 6, and then 9 to 12, and then 16. So if you want to flip back with me, you can do that so you can follow along. So Ezekiel 34, starting verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Down to verse 9. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them.
As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. And finally, verse 16, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. The question to us, I think, as followers of Jesus, is how are we living toward those who are unlike us? How are we living toward those who maybe haven't had the opportunity to encounter Jesus, who Jesus is out there looking for and who may be looking for him in return? How are we acting towards them? Are we welcoming to them to the front of the crowd and saying, look, here is Jesus? Or are we pushing them to the back and saying, no, this is our moment in the sun? Jesus' words to the crowd are pretty strong words. He is the one who has come to seek and save the lost. He is God in the flesh, coming to be that good shepherd for his people. What's our posture towards those who are lost? So today, as we wrap this up, again, two incredible messages in this encounter with Jesus. Number one is that today is an opportunity to come to Jesus, to come and spend time with him, to come welcome him into your home, welcome him into your life, to experience what it means to be in a relationship with him, to know him, to know that he's come to seek you out and give you life and life to the full. And know that if you have been looking for him, it's because he started looking for you first. This is an opportunity even for us who know him already to welcome him in a deeper way, to experience more of his hope, especially in these days, to experience more of his peace, more of his love, so we can share that with others around us. And the second part of this is that, you know, in this pretty unprecedented time, it's an opportunity for us as the church, listen to me on this, it's an opportunity for us to help others come to the front, to come right out in front and encounter Jesus. It's our opportunity to be his hands and feet of compassion and love and grace, proclaiming his hope, proclaiming his peace, proclaiming who he is in our world. So I want to encourage you to continue to pray. Pray for our world, pray for what's going on, but also pray specifically for people to find Jesus. A while ago, when we were leading up to Alpha, we talked about the 1102 prayer challenge, which was, you know, from Luke 1102 is where the Sermon on the Mount is found. And what we want to be doing is praying at 1102 a.m. for those of the people around us who maybe would be searching for Jesus. And honestly, I've left my alarm on my watch since then. I haven't turned it off. I'm continuing to pray every day at 1102 for those that God's laid on my heart to pray for. And I want to encourage you to continue to do the same. Continue to pray for our city. Pray for those around us so that people would come to know him. But then also live your lives in a way that helps bring people to the front so they can encounter Jesus. All of us, before we ever searched for Jesus, before we loved him, before we experienced the life that he has for us, he was looking for us first. He came to seek and to save the lost. Let's embrace him today, and let's help others do the same. Why don't you pray with me, church? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, and your word about this encounter that Jesus had with Zacchaeus and the people around him. God, thank you so much that you came out and searched for us to bring us into that life-saving relationship with you. Thank you that even before we could ever even think about approaching you, you came to us. And Lord, may we as the church rise up, especially at this time, to help show who you are so that other people could experience that same life. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.